This is Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Winter after winter in Afghanistan, leaders of the Taliban promise to go on the offensive as soon as the weather warms up. If you believe their propaganda this year, they are preparing hundreds of suicide bombers for spring. At the same time, American forces will be on the offensive with their NATO allies. NPR's Mary Louise Kelly has been listening to veteran military and intelligence officials talk about the coming battles. They do not like the chances of improving the situation.
Already this week, among other incidents, Taliban fighters have blown themselves up outside a police checkpoint, targeted a NATO convoy, and killed 10 Afghan policemen with a roadside bomb. This activity is in advance of the Taliban's anticipated spring offensive. It's got officials in Washington very worried. And President Bush, in a speech last month, laid out the planned response.
Our strategy is not to be on the defense, but to go on the offense. This spring, there's going to be a new offensive in Afghanistan, and it's going to be a NATO offensive. And that's part of our strategy.
In his speech, the president acknowledged the U.S. faces a tough enemy in Afghanistan. But he pointed out that the Taliban have so far failed at their goal of taking and holding new territory. And he argued that, overall, remarkable progress is being made. This past weekend, though, the White House announced that President Bush has approved another 3,500 U.S. troops for Afghanistan on top of his previous troop increase. The move would seem to underscore the depth of U.S. concern about a resurgent Taliban and al-Qaeda. Certainly, the trend lines have not been good. Here's Lieutenant General Michael Maples, head of the Pentagon's Defense Intelligence Agency, testifying 2 weeks ago about the Taliban's increased military capabilities.
Overall attacks doubled in 2006 from the previous year, and suicide attacks quadrupled from 2005. Large-scale operations increased significantly as well.
And the Taliban have vowed to make 2007 even worse for Western and Afghan government troops. Robert Grenier believes they may well be capable of it. Grenier served as CIA station chief in Pakistan before going on to become the agency's top counterterrorism official.
I think anytime you hear threats from the Taliban, you should always divide by 10. But we have heard Mullah Dadullah say that he has hundreds of would-be suicide bombers who are ready to go and martyr themselves. So I don't doubt that they do have quite a number more that they could send across.
Given that, Grenier, who's now with the global security firm Kroll, believes it wouldn't make sense for the U.S. just to sit back and wait to be attacked. And he says the U.S. and NATO-led spring offensive will likely meet with some success on a tactical level.
But I am far less optimistic that we are going to have strategic success. I think that we can kill a lot of members of the Taliban without really turning a corner on this and gaining a purchase on the situation.
Grenier's concern is that the effort is largely led by foreign forces. Even the Afghan National Army doesn't count among its ranks many Pashtuns. It's Pashtuns who dominate the Taliban, and Pashtuns who straddle both sides of the Afghan-Pakistan border, and are often sympathetic to Taliban fighters who cross back and forth. Grenier argues that foreign forces may be able to fight and capture ground in Afghanistan, but they won't be able to hold it unless the local Pashtun population backs the effort. Another former CIA official, Milt Bearden, agrees and believes the current U.S. strategy could end up making the situation worse.
You will only add resolve to the Pashtun peoples on both sides of that border, and that will complicate the matter not only for the United States in Afghanistan, but for Pakistan as well.
Bearden knows a thing or two about spring offensives in Afghanistan, having lived through several of them in the late 1980s, when he was CIA station chief in Pakistan and the Soviets were trying to tame the Afghan Mujahideen.
There's a rhythm to fighting in that part of Central Asia. And we always said, when the snows melt and the high mountain passes and the war rhythm starts picking up again. And it goes back into Kipling and the British in the 19th century and their Russian great game. And then on back through the Mughal emperors and all the way back to the Afghan campaign of Alexander the Great.
Bearden, for the record, notes that most of Afghanistan's would-be conquerors fared badly. And he doesn't rate the chances of the U.S. and NATO this spring as being much better. Ali Jalali has a different take on the situation. Jalali served as Afghanistan's interior minister from 2003 to 2005. Jalali believes the U.S. and its partners do have a real shot at turning things around this year in Afghanistan. But he says success hinges on a very important factor, Pakistan.
Even if in Afghanistan they succeed to clear an area, hold it, and rebuild it, as long as the Taliban can use their bases from Pakistani soil, this is not going to stabilize this country. So therefore, Pakistani cooperation is essential and key.
The very point political leaders in Washington have been making recently. On Capitol Hill, efforts are underway in both the House and Senate to link U.S. aid to Pakistan to stronger counterterrorism efforts. Vice President Dick Cheney and other administration officials have been dropping in lately on Pakistan's president, Pervez Musharraf, suggesting he do more to crack down on extremists. One senior administration official, who declined to be named because he's not authorized to speak publicly on the matter, says we've been delivering the message for some time that Pakistan needs to take aggressive measures to disrupt the Taliban and al-Qaeda. It's fair to say there's now a sense of urgency because of the upcoming Afghan spring offensive. Mary Louise Kelly, NPR News, Washington.